Now, here's the mayor.
All right. This is going to be another difficult day for the city and its police department. As IMPD was responding to last week's court ruling concerning the second vial of blood in the David Bassard case, we discovered that vial had been mishandled by the police property room. Director Straub will give you a detailed explanation of what occurred as we know it today. But before he does, I want to express how angry and disgusted I am that this happened. It is too early to tell if this will impact the criminal or civil cases. But I also want to apologize on behalf of the city to the families of the victims. The mishandling of evidence in any case is a serious matter. The mishandling of evidence in this case erodes the public's confidence in its police department. At best, this matter shows gross incompetence, and at worst, possible criminal intent. I have asked the FBI to join the Professional Standards Division in this investigation, and I thank them for quickly agreeing to my request. It is important that an outside agency help us uncover the truth, ensure the integrity of the investigation, and rebuild the people's confidence in its police department. Today, I accepted Paul Soselsky's resignation as chief of police and am placing the civilian property room clerk, Teresa Bachbrader, Lieutenant Paula Irwin, the officer in charge of the property room, and deputy chief of the professional standards division, Valerie Cunningham, on administrative leave pending further investigation and a thorough top-to-bottom management review. I appointed Rick Height as acting chief of police until this investigation and review is completed. Acting Chief Height is a 32-year veteran of the Baltimore Police Department and has been a deputy director in the Department of Public Safety for the past 18 months. I want to be clear that I continue to hold the men and women who wear that IMPD uniform in the highest regard. They risk their lives every day, and the overwhelming majority of them try to do the right thing. We have been relentless in our efforts to reform the police department since the beginning of my administration, and this latest incident shows that our work is far from finished. It is clear that our work to improve the training and procedures of IMPD must continue. Director Straub will now give you more details surrounding the handling of this blood vial.
Good afternoon. On Monday morning, yesterday, at approximately 8 o'clock, Chief Soselsky was called to the prosecutor's office. At that time, we learned that the vial, we'll call it Vial 2, related to the David Bassard case, had been moved to the property room annex at the police academy. The investigation to date shows that in November, early November of 2011, vial number 2 of David Bassard was transferred to the property annex room at the police academy at 10th and Post. That vial remained in a room. It was not refrigerated. It was in a room that had normal heat in it, and it stayed in that room until we learned in early April that the vial had been moved, and as a result of that, it was returned to the property room and returned to refrigeration. As the mayor said, on Monday, immediately upon learning that there had been a problem with the blood evidence, we requested that the FBI assist us in this investigation to ensure the integrity, to restore public confidence, to bring their technical expertise to the table as we try to determine the exact facts of this case and what resulted in or led to the movement of that vial of blood to the property room annex. I met with Chief Soselsky earlier today. Chief Soselsky accepted full responsibility for these actions and offered his resignation. As the mayor said, he accepted that resignation. We also place other individuals, as the mayor identified, unpaid administrative leave as we continue the investigation. And the mayor appointed Rick Height, formerly the Deputy Director of Public Safety, to be the Assistant Chief of Police in an acting capacity. Questions?
When we say that there's a problem with the second blood buyer, saying that, can you sort of describe what you folks think might have been done? You know, something taken out, something put in, to just help the public sort of understand exactly how this was mishandled, what it means in the broader picture.
So I can't go into a lot of details except to say that both vials of blood were in the property room, vial one and vial two. One of those vials, vial two, we'll call it, was moved as part of a movement of other blood, containers of blood, to the property room annex out at the police academy. The integrity of the vial, I can't comment on. That'll be up to science to determine what the results or the effect on the blood is. What we're concerned about and what caused us to take action and to initiate the investigation and ask the FBI to come in was the movement of this vial out of a refrigerator to an unrefrigerated annex out at the police academy.
And what was that movement? Do you know
what
the timeline?
It was early November of 2011. I learned about the vial on Monday when the chief of police advised me after meeting with the prosecutor that we had a problem with one of the blood vials in the Broussard case.
So was it plain to you why that something that was in the November refrigeration, why it was not in the refrigeration? I mean, how did that...
We're looking at that now as to why it got moved, how it got moved, and under whose direction it got moved. The prosecutor, in preparation for their case, as you remember, on the 12th of this month, Judge Hawkins ruled that we could use the blood evidence in the case. The prosecutor's office inquired as to the status of the blood evidence, and it was at that point that we learned that it had been moved to the annex in November.
What are the possible criminal actions that are being investigated?
I can't comment on that because it's an open investigation.
No, I did not. I'm just apologizing to them on behalf of the city. No, I'm not. Well, sure. They've been through such pain before. And we some things did not go right. We addressed that in the investigation that we brought forth. Very painful. On our part, but not even close to being as painful as it is for them to understand what went on at that point in time. And now this, mishandling of evidence, would it have been crucial? I'm not sure. But the fact that it happened, it just has to add to their pain. And it's just terrible.
And Mayor, I mean, just in my experience, this case has been just one error after another, and the perception is fix has been in on this case, and now they have this happen. Is this something that the police department can recover from, do you think?
Well, eventually, sure, but I certainly understand the erosion of trust when you see what has happened over the course of this investigation. I certainly understand it, and if I was looking from the outside, I would probably form some opinions myself.
Mr. Mayor, from the start, you and
Director. This is a live press conference in the mayor's office, a scandal in the IMPD.
Yes, because this instance was strictly in the property room. I mean, it was several layers of leadership that I think should have seen this. And again, this probably goes back again to practices many, many years past, maybe decades past. People just aren't looking. People just don't understand how important it is to follow proper procedures all the time. And it's to be honest with you, it's very frustrating to find this out time and again.
Who are in and out of the property room, and what type of...
Yeah. I think we have to let the investigation look at that.
Okay. Frank, can you address all the personnel changes that have taken place since this discovery? Your chief has resigned.
Right. The chief hasn't resigned. The chief has resigned from his position as the chief. He's stepped down. Chief Cunningham, Valerie Cunningham, has been placed on paid administrative leave. Lieutenant Paula Irwin has been placed on paid administrative leave. She was the uniform supervisor of the property room. And the property room civilian supervisor has also been put on paid administrative leave.
Director, can you say if there are any records showing who is going in and out of the property room at the time that this blood vial was moved?
We have the movement of the vial recorded through the property room records. So we knew, as I said, we know that it moved in November, and we know when it came back, and we know that it was in the annex from November to April, and we know who moved the vial, yes.
Frank, have you talked to rank and file about this at all? Has there been any reaction? What do you expect it to be?
I met with the command staff earlier. I expressed my concern that this is just another unnecessary incident in this police department. We have a pattern that just keeps happening over and over again where officers are being arrested for DUI, for other unacceptable behavior. And the message to the command staff was, we have a very good police department doing very good things, but we have to stop blowing ourselves up. We have to hold ourselves accountable as a police department, and we have to make sure that the men and women that come to work every day, 1,600 men and women who are devoted to serving this community and do so very, very well, that we make sure they go home to their families the same way they came to work, not just physically, but also emotionally and mentally and so on and so forth.
Frank, does this, Frank, with the report that was put out at the after the original Bassard incident, that was one of the officers that report. The fact that he's been placed on administrative leave, does that call that report that was previously done end of question, or do you folks still feel pretty confident in sort of that constructive timeline?
No, I think that report was incredibly accurate. It was professional. It was objective. I stand by that report, and I stand by Chief Cunningham's efforts as well as the other individuals that participated in that investigation. That was for a point in time, right? This is something that developed subsequent to that report being issued. So now we're looking at what happened from the time that report got issued and up until yesterday morning. That's correct.
How does it feel to have this happen?
It feels really bad, the fact that, A, it happened, and the fact that I have to stand here repeatedly with or without the mayor and talk about actions that are inconsistent with the policies and procedures of this department. And I think we have to stop talking about this. These types of instances have to stop happening, right? That's what this reform effort is about, this reengineering process, is to work collectively as a department to make sure that we do things 100% correct all the time. There's no margin for error here. And so, you know, people are put in positions, and people have led the department based on the position that they were in. Unfortunately, we had a very serious issue here that we're still investigating. The chief accepted responsibility for that and stepped down from his position as the chief today.
Frank, what is your responsibility for this? And if you offer either a resignation or to go on administrative leave since you're at the top of this?
No, I haven't. I want to be very clear. I was brought here 2 years and 4 months ago to reform this police department, to change this police department, to make it the best police department in the United States of America. You have seen outside report after outside report after outside report identifying a number of issues that we need to correct to move this department forward. I am 110% committed to the men and women of this police department. I am 110% committed to making sure that they go home to their families the same way they came to work. I'm 110% committed to protecting the 900,000 plus or minus citizens of this city. reform is a difficult process. Doing things the same way we've always done them is unacceptable because clearly outside consultants and I and others have demonstrated over and over again that the policies and practices of this department need to change. They need to be professionalized, and we need to move forward. And I am 100% committed to that. And you see these things coming because of my leadership, because I've drawn a line in the sand and said that aberrant behavior is not going to be tolerated. Bad procedures are not going to be tolerated because we have an obligation to protect the citizens of this department, to protect the men and women of this department who come to work every single day and put their lives on the line to protect this city.
Mr. Mayor, if that hasn't taken hold, then does that mean that in the 2+ years you've been here trying to do this, that it's failing?
No, Russ. This is 30 or 40 or 50 years of neglect. And what I've heard from the management of this police department over and over again for the 2 years and 4 months that I've been here is, we knew this was going on. We just never bothered to fix it. We knew that officers were drinking on duty. We knew that officers were going to strip clubs. But we didn't take action. We didn't hold ourselves or those officers accountable. We knew that our procedures, like the property room procedures, are the same procedures that have been in place since 1980. That's unacceptable in a modern police department or in any organization. We have an obligation to constantly improve our business practices. And so you don't fix history in 2 years or 2 weeks. There has to be a relentless commitment to every day, getting up in the morning, striving to make the department better. And that's happening. That's happening. The command staff of this department, working with the men and women of this department, are making this department better and better every day. Does that mean that there's not going to be bumps in the road? Obviously. Does that mean that there's not going to be craters? Obviously, there's going to be. The mettle of this department and the character of this department is going to be shown by our ability to keep moving forward and to be relentless in the pursuit of making this the best police department in the country. And it's not going to happen in 2 weeks. It's not going to happen in 2 years. It's going to take 4, 5, 6 years of committed leadership on the part of the mayor, which he's clearly demonstrated, and the public safety director, and the chief of police and the command staff.
What are you saying to the
He's a merit captain, and Assistant Chief Heidel will determine in concert with me and with Captain Soselsky what his new assignment's going to be.
Dr. Straub, are you saying that this second line of bullets can go up to the point that it is unusable as any kind of
evidence? No, I think that's something, A, you have to ask the prosecutor, and B, really is going to be the it's going to take scientific analysis to determine whether it's been corrupted or not. Yes. Yes. It's a matter of investigation.
You mentioned the property room workers who have been put on administrative leave.
One.
Are there any police officers that have been put on administrative leave at this point in connection with this investigation?
Yes. The chief of police is a police officer. He's stepped down. He's not on administrative leave. Deputy Chief Cunningham is a police officer. She's been put on administrative leave. And Lieutenant Irwin has been placed on administrative leave.
So is it safe to say that
no, it's not correct to say that.
Is the person
I'm not going to answer the question. It's under investigation, John.
Should blood ever be not refrigerated?
The blood should not have been moved from the refrigerator in the property room to the annex.
Should it never not be in the refrigerator?
At this point, the blood should not have been moved from the refrigerator in the property room to an unrefrigerated room in the annex. That's all I'm going to say.
Mr. Mayor, what does this do for Dr. Straub's reappointment? There have been some talk, of course, about what might happen on the public safety and the Democratic Council. Does this add to track?
Now this is all separate. I mean, that is what it is. This is, we're commenting on this particular incident because we need to talk about this incident.
Mayor, what do you do to restore the public's trust in this department?
It's going to take time. It's going to take time. No question. Like I say, if I was looking from the outside, it doesn't look very good. And it's funny, you go to the award ceremony for the police officers, and you hear what they do on an individual basis or on a group basis to protect us, and then you have things like this happen, and it's clearly a mixed picture, but it's just going to take time. We do have to be relentless. this has been going on for a long time. I could tell you stories, really, but we have some holes in some of our capabilities, and we just need to fix them.
You've been listening to an extraordinary live press conference by a mayor of Indianapolis, maybe one of the most extraordinary press conferences a mayor has had to do in this city in a number of decades. But at the bottom line, a bombshell this afternoon, allegations of tampering with evidence chain in the Bessard case, the blood evidence not being handled properly. It has resulted in the departure of the chief of police of the Indianapolis Police Department, Paul Krzyzewski. He offered his resignation. I would say he was flat out fired. Rick Height, who is the deputy public safety director, is the acting chief of police of the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department. For those of you that don't know, Rick Height is African American, so he would be the first African American acting chief of police, and perhaps the second African American ever to be chief of police of IMPD if he were to become the actual police chief. Several other ranking officers, including what I thought I heard in the press conference, the chief over professional standards, Valerie Cunningham, has been placed on administrative leave. The FBI has been asked to investigate. This raises serious questions about IMPD. You can hear in the tenor of the mayor's voice and the public safety director's voice, they are livid, and I think all 911,000 residents of Indianapolis are livid. We're going to take a break in a little bit, but this is big. Let's go to Pastor Stephen Clay of Messiah Baptist Church, the National Action Network. Pastor Clay, to say this community is stunned would be an understatement.
It would be a profound understatement, Amos, and as this story unfolds, I'm forced to quote the mayor, and I'm not in the habit of quoting the mayor, but the mayor talked about in this press conference the erosion of the public trust with respect to the police department. It's the most accurate thing that he has said in a mighty long time.
This
statement is an understatement with what is being revealed to this community today. When you look at what happened in the Bessard case, you wonder how much more could really go wrong in terms of the chain of custody, the chain of command. But what all this really seems to be pointing at is a failure of leadership. There are some good men and women who serve the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department, and we must be clear about that. But this really is a failure of leadership. What Dr. Straub touts as reform and restructuring, these commands, positions that he has set in place, Valerie Cunningham as professional standards, that was his organizational choice and his lead person, now according to him on administrative leave. Krzyzewski was his selection and his appointment under this paradigm of reform and restructure, and now he has either stepped down, been fired, but no longer giving leadership. All of this restructuring with the staff that he has put in place seems to be a failure of leadership.
You know, that is a point, because Chief Krzyzewski was Director Straub's choice. Valerie Cunningham was Director Straub's choice when he restructured the department after he came here and got settled over 2 years ago. But again, you would think that with as much public interest that was in the Bessard case, they would have handled that evidence with kid gloves by the Jack Webb book.
Well, there is a notion that arrogance is of such that it becomes blatant. So I will not be so quick to dismiss that this could very well be strategic, in that what we see here is veteran officers what appears to be willfully disregarding the chain of command, are giving orders that are inconsistent with the general rules and operation of the police department. So you can't tell me that these are neophyte or freshman mistakes. These are veteran officers who appear to have willingly and deliberately decided not to follow a process. But they are officers in command that were put in position by Dr. Strom.
All right. I appreciate it, Pastor Clay. 239-1310, 239-1310. If you all are as stunned as I am, or send me an email at praiseindy.com or a text message at 85620, keyword Amos. One of the text messages that I've already gotten as the press conference was going along live. I'm trying to, you know, find it now because it has really been hectic here in the studio. But the text message that I got was, looks like police departments aren't just jacked up in Sanford, Florida, seriously disgusted. To allow as many of you as possible, we really ask you to keep your comments extremely brief and to the point. Let me go to Anonymous. Hi there. Anonymous? Anonymous, 1, 2, 3. Let me go to Kareem, quickly.
Yeah, hello?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I didn't call in Anonymous. I don't know how they did this. This is Brother Kareem.
No, Anonymous missed his chance. What's up?
Okay, listen,
I need you to be very quick because I know everybody wants to weigh in on this.
First of all, I'm not stunned, and as you know, I've been at law, and I've been telling them that it's been corrupt, this bizarre case, and it goes high as it does in the police department, and it's been covered up too long, and I thank the Creator that it's been brought out in the way that it has. And that not only is the bizarre case need to be checked in with the FBI, but every other major case in this city since this administration been instituted as administrative or as leadership in the city cannabis with the mayor, Straub, and Trzaskowski. I mean, this goes far back as with the councilwoman at the time of that situation, Candy Perry. Brandon Johnson, I'm telling you, boy, they never made me I'm too tongue-tied, Amos, because I'm happy.
We're all
happy. All right, let me get off the airway, man.
All right, 239-1310. I got another text message. Bombshell is right at 85620. Keyword name is 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. Let me go to Georgia right quick. Hi, Georgia.
Hey, Brother Brown.
Yes, sir.
All these reverend fortune-telling preachers that get up in the pulpit on Sunday telling people fortune, all the law that went out and voted for Greg Ballard, you just asked me yesterday, what you think. And I was right. It's zero. It's poor than poor. It's pathetic.
All right, I appreciate it. 239-1310, 239-1310 is afternoon's name. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll get your reactions and reactions of some community leaders to the bombshell. Chief of the IMPD, Paul Trzaskowski, out. Scandal. It's the S word. It is scandal involving lack of proper handling of evidence in the Officer Bessard case. Head of professional standards on administrative leave. Others on administrative leave. Mayor Leavitt. Public safety director looked like he was going to pop a vein in his head. Scandal in the IMPD after these. My goodness. 239-1310. 239-1310. This thing takes your breath away. Let me go to former public safety director. Former Indianapolis police officer, now an attorney, one of the people you hear on Legally Speaking on Saturday mornings all here on AM 1310, The Light, Robert Turner, Chief Director Turner. I'm sure all 911,000 residents of Indianapolis are as not only share the mayor's anger. I think this is just takes your breath away.
Well, it does. It demonstrates a certain failure on the part of law enforcement. A lot of people view the justice system as being perfect, and unfortunately nothing is perfect, and that's proven in this case. There was certainly a failure here. The question is, was this a failure in terms of competence? Was it a failure in terms of integrity? It makes the department and, of course, the city look bad, but Amos, if you recall, back in 2006, we talked about the police department.
Right.
And I told you and the listeners then that the way that the consolidation was being thrown together, basically with tape and putty, was going to cause some long-term consequences. That the ball had been dropped in a number of areas. I thought they were moving too fast. And, of course, I was accused of opposing consolidation. I did not oppose it, but I thought if it was going to be done, it should be done the right way. And I think in terms of our training, particularly the legal training, the updates, in the Bizarre case, I think it was demonstrated that there was a complete misunderstanding what the new law required in terms of a blood sample, and that it had to be taken by a certified person or a doctor. And that, I think, started it. But from that, you would think the department has to tighten up, obviously, its training, its procedures, because of failures like that. But I think not just in this case, but in several cases, from Brandon Johnson
right.
to this one, there's been a number of failures that cannot continue. The department has got to tighten up. And, you know, I don't blame Ballard, because a lot of this started actually in the days of Goldsmith,
mm-hmm.
but it never improved. I think for the first 4 years of Peterson, the department got a little better, but in the last 4 years when we went into this tizzy about consolidation, and if you look at these stats about crime and homicide, that's when crime start going up.
Bob, let me ask you as a non-police person to a police person, and would on a high-profile case, wouldn't the evidence in a high-profile case, extra steps be taken to make sure that evidence is handled correctly and I's and T's are placed in the special refrigerated safe or whatever to bend over backwards to make sure you've got that evidence preserved so the prosecutors can prove the case beyond a reasonable doubt?
Well, let me tell you what I think of law enforcement in terms of its mission
mm-hmm.
and the contamination of politics.
Mm-hmm.
You see, in my opinion, when politics takes over law enforcement, it becomes dangerous because you don't necessarily have to be qualified to be assigned a good job. You just have to be politically connected. And that's the problem, I think, in the police department. At some point, politics took over. We had at one time on the police department, I think, 7 lawyers. One of the lawyers was assigned to drive the prison van.
Right.
Now, so when you have lawyers assigned to drive the jail van and not dedicated to looking at problems within the department, researching law, updating training, maintaining professional standards, that's what causes the embarrassment that you're looking at now. The police department has got to be fair. It's got to be neutral. It's got to be professional. It's anti-political.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems the more I say it, that the further down it's pushed on the police department. But this is an example, I think, of a police department that is simply not ready. I don't know, and I know Chief Soselsky, I do not think he is corrupt. I think he's a very good administrator. I think to a great extent he might be inhibited of what he can do, and I think he's so focused on trying to make people happy that he's not focused on running the department.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a lot of good people in that department. We've got a lot of good people that they lost. But let's stop making, you know, complaints and crying. Let's focus on trying to rebuild that department, restore confidence. It's a shame that Eric Wells died, because when you look at things like that, and if whether Bessart was intoxicated or not, if he was intoxicated, whose fault is that?
Mm-hmm.
The police department allowed an intoxicated man to come to work and get in his car and drive. And if he wasn't intoxicated, whose fault was that? Here's a man driving at excessive speeds, disregarding his training, etc., and it results in hurting 3 people, killing 1. You cannot allow that kind of mismanagement, lack of supervision to exist. So you just need good, solid, non-political administrators to run that department. That'll correct all the problems.
The other thing we're learning is that this vial of blood that was involved in the Bizarre case that was improperly moved, there may have been other pieces of evidence for other cases improperly moved, and I know you're a smart defense attorney. There are a lot of great defense attorneys. That's going to raise some issues about the quality of the cases. And what do they call it? Chain of evidence.
Yeah, chain of custody. But
chain
again,
custody.
That goes back to who's handling that evidence, whether there's proper supervision, do they have proper training, do they know, certainly they should know, blood should be refrigerated.
Mm-hmm.
No evidence should be moved without a log that dedicates that particular person to the chain of custody, so that person may have to testify. Again, these are shortcomings within the department. I know the public's upset, and they should be, but this is clearly a case where I think the department just needs some massive restructuring, massive retraining. The mayor needs to appoint someone to run that department who knows what they're doing, and then he needs to stay out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Let the chief run that department. Let the department understand that they answer to the chief, not the mayor, not the public safety director, and I think everything's going to be fine. And if you find that somebody doesn't know what they're doing, regardless of their political appointments or their political connections, they need to go.
Bob, one question we got is the text message at 85620, keyword Amos, and you may wish to decline this because I know you represent Daryl Pierce, an IMPD officer that got caught up in the first part of this whole bizarre situation. How does this today's events impact Daryl Pierce's case?
Well, I think it reinforces our position that there were so many things going wrong there, and quite honestly, our position in that at that time was this was a very critical incident. It was probably the most important thing going on that day.
Mm-hmm.
When I was public safety director or deputy chief of police, for that matter, when something like this happened, I left my office and I went to the scene. And when I got there, the chief better be there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of thing you pay personal attention to. Chief Pierce was there, and he was dedicated to. It was the chief, unfortunately, Soselski, that wasn't there. And I just think, and again, when you focus your mind and attention on politics as opposed to your job and mission, you start creating problems and you have shortcomings. So our position is still that not just Chief Pierce, but there's also Deputy Chief Conley, there's also several other people involved in this that did the right things, but unfortunately were caught up in the politics of a news conference and were actually pulled away from the scene.
Mm.
By director of the chief. So who knows what they could have done had they not been pulled away, but there was in place a team to investigate this. That team did respond, and I think the team did a fairly good job, but the failure to identify any adverse behavior, indications of alcoholism and bizarre is certainly questionable, and also the handling of the blood evidence is very questionable.
Robert Turner, former public safety director, former longtime member of the Indianapolis Police Department. Thanks very much for being with us. I'm going to quickly go through some callers, and we're going to hear from the head of the Urban League, Joe Slash. We'll hear from the head of the NAACP. We were going to have a longer segment with our NAACP on some other issues, but obviously this is the issue of the day. This may be the issue of the week. Scandal in the Indianapolis Police Department. When I say scandal, I am not impugning the vast majority of the men and women of the Indianapolis Police Department, because I'm sure those outstanding men and women share the anger and the embarrassment that every resident of Indianapolis and Marion County feels today. So, you know, this is not disparaging the vast majority of our police officers. They are as angry and as livid about this situation as we all are. Let me go to Byron. Hi there.
Hi. Our police officers.
Byron? Yes, sir. Real quick.
Well, I'm just like with Bob Turner. Put the blame where the blame needs to be. It goes all the way back past this mayor. You know, things been going on like this for the longest, but it's good that somebody called the FBI and got the FBI to step in and find out what was going on.
All right. Good point. Let me go to Dietrich at 239-1310. Hi there.
Yes, Amos. Thank you for our answers to our black people that stood tall. We didn't die in vain. Thank you for those judges that knew they had to do the right thing. And they clean the house, heads go roll. I'm sitting back with my feet on the table. I'm just so tickled pink. I am so grateful that they are cleaning the house. Thank you, thank you. So maybe Indianapolis can be more vibrant and more livable and more lovable. But I'm so grateful that these folks, and send them to jail. Give them 20, 30 years. Send them to jail. Thank you.
All right, let me go to Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, Dr. Brown.
Yes, sir.
Man, write this down for your new bombshell. Only thing they was doing was destroying evidence in order to stop from doing anything to the drunken police driver, who just happened to be a dope collector. Have a nice day.
All right, 239-1310. 239-1310 is Absolute News with Amos. Crystal Radcliffe is the president of the Greater Indianapolis Chapter of the NAACP. Crystal, your reaction to this news that literally is less than an hour old.
Well, it was comes to a shock to me to, that it happens at this particular time. And I agree with Attorney Turner. The scrutiny of this doesn't lie on the mayor. It lies from past practices of mayors. Mm-hmm. And we really need to look into all of these different departments and get a better idea of what's going on, because there's just too many things that have just been happening under Mayor Ballard's watch. So mm-hmm. it's time for the mayor to clean house mm-hmm. and to get the FBI involved so that we can move forward, because Indianapolis has too good of a reputation to have to keep going down this path.
Is this also a time, given that within the African-American community, I mean, the mayor talked about that it's going to take time to restore. I mean, this is the kind of thing that even if the people were feeling better about IMPD since the Bassard incident, since all these other incidents that people were starting to feel better, this is going to push all that way back. But in our African-American community, it was already way back anyway. This is going to either one or two things. The community is going to say same old, or it's going to push that back all the way further. Is part of this rebuilding the department, rehealing the community, is that the mayor's got to come off some of his attitudes and sit down with everybody, that this keep away can't continue.
Absolutely, Amos. And the community is very concerned that the mayor has different organizations that he meets with and then other organizations he doesn't. In order to get past that, he's going to have to open up to everybody and sit down and come to the table with each and every organization and with the community as a whole. So if he has to go to the library once a week and meet with community leaders as well as the community itself, it's time for him to open up and change his way of doing business.
Let me go to another anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine. What's up?
I just wanted to speak on the topic today.
Yes, ma'am.
Like the other callers, I believe it's just a cover-up. You know, there's been so much going on with the IPD police department killings that police officers have gotten off on while they had someone in custody and handcuffed. Mm-hmm. I also think they need to investigate. Since the FBI is involved, they need to investigate, go further, and go into that city-county building. Because I'm sure there's some wrongdoings going on down there, too. That's my comment. Thank you so much, Amos.
I appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310 to the phones. Reverend Solomon. Hi there.
Thanks, Amos.
Hi.
Look at what happened today, but then look at what come out of what happened today. You had the FOP, which controls the police department, has been in revolutionary warfare with Frank Straub for the past 2 years, and it's been an ongoing battle. But with what has happened, it put Straub and the mayor now somewhat neutralizing FOP and putting them in a position of control of the police department, or either equalizing it, because what happened, they put Straub, sidekick, in charge of the police department, which can also make it in charge of the mayor. Now, they somewhat neutralize the police department with the responsibility of what happened. They knew what was going on when the first time that drunk run over those people at that intersection, it triggered a mechanism of cover-up and control of the evidence. They first started it with manipulating the police personnel at the scene of the tragedy. Then they started to manipulate the evidence. Mm-hmm. Now we find months later that they manipulated a particular vial of the drug to deteriorate or degrade the evidence. And now it surfaces that this went on, and the result of that, they put the control, somewhat neutralized the control of the police department in the control of the mayor and Straub.
All right, interesting point. Interesting point. We'll see. I appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310 is after news. The name is this. We have a statement just emailed in from Marion County Prosecutor Terry Curry. The prosecutor says, during the process of requesting permission to test the second vial of blood drawn from Officer David Bizzard, our office became aware that this sample had been moved from a refrigerated environment in the IMPD property room to an unrefrigerated environment at the property room annex. This office did not authorize or order the second vial of blood to be moved. We are currently working with an independent lab to clarify the implications of testing the blood for the second vial and do not know if or how the blood was affected. We do not know the events that transpired causing Officer Bizzard's blood to be moved while in IMPD's custody, and we are exceedingly concerned that it occurred. I met with the victim and victim's families this morning at 11 a.m. to inform them. At this time, we do not believe these developments will negatively impact the prosecution of this case. Regardless of these developments, this office is continuing to move forward with the prosecution against Officer Bizzard. So according to the prosecutor, obviously, they didn't order this thing to be moved, and they're not sure the implications. And it's like, why would you, if it was in the refrigerator, why would you move? It should have been a big note. Bizzard, do not touch. That would have been just, to me, common sense. 239-1310. Joe Slash is the president of the Indianapolis Urban League. He also serves, he's a former deputy mayor. He serves on the police merit board. Joe Slash, welcome. This, I'm saying to the audience, is probably the biggest scandal we've seen in IMPD, at least since the downtown brawl and maybe going back to the Winston Churchill days in the early 70s.
Well, I'd have to think long and hard before I could come up with something that matches this. I just find this appalling that after the legal team has done all it could to get the testing of this second vial of blood in, that we find that it had been moved and compromised. I mean, this, you break chain of custody, you contaminate evidence, I don't know what else could possibly go wrong in a case like this. I think the mayor is absolutely right to have the FBI come in and review procedures. You know, a lot of time has passed since the last time I remember the FBI reviewing the old IPD procedures, but this is just unheard of that somebody would even think about moving a vial of blood from a refrigerated unit to somewhere that's not refrigerated. But anything in an active crime scene, crime investigation, without the authorization to move it, why would you even think about it? I mean, this doesn't even pass the smell test, Amos.
Joe Slash, you know, obviously you were there in the mayor's office in the whole Michael Taylor situation, and that was a case that literally shook the confidence of this community, not just the African-American community, but everyone in the community. And I remember that Mayor Hudnut literally went all over town meeting with, you know, every organization from the business community to the black community to the religious leadership to the white leadership, talking about this, you know, and taking everyone's temperature. Is this something Mayor Ballard now must do?
Well, I think in the good sense of public relations, there needs to be some outreaching from the mayor's office. I don't know what else you could do except go out and explain to people what's going on and ask for patience until the FBI review. You know, you mentioned Michael Taylor. This is the last time I remember that a mayor had invited the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office in to review procedures in a questionable case. But something is definitely very lacking in our process and procedures to allow something like this to happen.
Obviously, the acting chief is someone who's not from here. I don't think we've had an acting chief of police, first of all, in a long time, and an acting chief who is not from here, and that's Rick Height. And I'm also trying to remember there has never been an African-American in an acting chief. I mean, we've had him in an acting public safety director position with Joe Shelton, but we've never had an African-American in an acting chief of police position.
Not to my knowledge, my time goes back pretty far since UNIGOV has been in in fact here, but no, you're right. I don't recall that we've ever had an acting African-American police chief.
The fact, Joe, that, and what threw me off as how serious this was, is this is State of the City Day. And you don't call press conferences by the mayor on State of the City Day before the speech. Obviously, they're going to have to tear the speech up now.
Well, I think so, but I think the reason you call a press conference when something this serious happens, I think the mayor did the right thing, regardless of how much we all like Chief Soselsky. You have to make some changes when you have situations like this, but I think you obviously call a press conference and get this out as quickly as possible because of the possibility of numerous leaks that would come out just before you went to deliver your State of the City speech. Obviously, other people knew about it, and you couldn't keep a lid on this very long before somebody started talking. I mean, I'm a member of the merit board. We normally get heads up by an email before a press conference. I hadn't seen anything yet.
You still looking for it? You still, does there anything the merit board needs to look at in any of this?
Well, our job is to hire, fire, promote, and discipline. Obviously, there could be a appeal or more appeals of any disciplinary action taken, like suspensions, demotions. Those persons affected obviously have a right to appeal that disciplinary action to the merit board, just like any other officer. But I think there's a lot of time and water to go under the bridge before we see anything like that come, like this case, come to the merit board.
I've used the term scandal. Is that a correct noun, or is there a more appropriate? Because I don't want
I think not necessarily scandal, but malfeasance. I mean, just bad policy, bad practice, bad judgment. You can call it everything you want, and I just hope that it's not found that someone had deliberately moved this in order to damage the evidence in this case.
Joe Slash, the head of the Indianapolis Urban League, also a member, former deputy mayor in the Hudnut administration, and a member of the Indianapolis Marion County Police Merit Board. Joe, thanks very much for being with us.
I guess we'll go hear the State of the City tonight, won't we?
The ratings will be up for that one.
All
I
right,
appreciate
I'll be
it.
There.
Thank you. Amy. You know, supposedly the communications director will be here tomorrow to talk about the mayor's State of the City speech. The mayor ought to come, but we'll see. 239-1310, 239-1310. More of your reaction. IMPD malfeasance. What a shock. After these, back to the phone. City County Councilor Joe Simpson. Joe, I don't know whether you've had time to talk to some of your colleagues on the council, but I would suspect that it would be 29-0 in terms of anger and shock on a bipartisan basis with members of our city county council over this police IMPD scandal, IMPD malfeasance.
Well, you know, what's funny is that I was over in the city market sitting down with my fellow council person, Bob Osley, and we were talking about doing some stuff for the city and was unaware until I walked back in my office and heard you on the radio, and then I got on the online and started reading this, and I would say that what a shock, like you say. I mean, this is nothing that I didn't think that. I'm not surprised because IMPD has always been questionable. It's what I say in a lot of committee meetings about how the black community feel about the Indianapolis Police Department, this community, black community, get treated versus the white community, how people go to jail. It's like fairness in the justice system. I told the prosecutor we need to get back to setting up a committee to do some random testing of how people are getting charged through that system downtown. It goes to the heart of this mayor, how he's run this city. The city's got a deficit. They have yet to show us a financial statement, and I've learned that nobody's seen a financial statement since October of 11. And we're now in April 12. What are you hiding? You know, and why are you not? If this was a billion-dollar corporation, and you literally, if this was a controller or anybody down there, they would have fired everybody. Those, they are not even trying to attempt to get us reports. And somebody's around there, running around there, hiding stuff. And I've been on this council for 4 months, and I don't want anything to move until I see a financial statement. We don't know how much money's in the bank. We don't know where the money is. The taxpayers should be outraged as to how this city is being managed, and he had the nerve to say everything is okay, that Indianapolis is one of the best run. Well, this was going on prior to the Super Bowl getting here, and this has been going on for a while. And I'm going to let it, you know, filter itself out because there's so much set over there in that city-county building right now that it's just going to pour out. And as I told some of my fellow councilmen, it's going to take care of itself because I'm not surprised to see, you know, the chief. It makes me wonder, what does Bizarre have on all these cops that they can't turn this boy loose? You know, I think that, you know, Robert Height, I met him. He's a nice guy. I think that the FBI should be fully in control of this investigation with no contact whatsoever with IMPD involved in it. I think this would need to be an isolated case. Our public safety meeting is tomorrow. I know this is going to change from Rob. You know, we're the continuation of the public safety director coming before us. It's going to put a whole new spin on it. It comes down to one thing, and that's what I keep saying, leadership. This city, just a Joe Slash, I keep hearing all the people coming on. This city has always had capable leadership. Mm-hmm. And it had the kind of leadership in which we in the community could go, like you say, would come on the radio, discuss what's going on, or would tell this community what's going on. This administration is so not transparent. They don't want to share nothing. They don't want to do anything. They think that they have the ability to sit up here. And it's just a shame that all you out there listening, taxpayers, should be just outraged at how deep this city is in debt. We don't know how deep it is, Amos, but I can guarantee you it's pretty deep. And when we find out about it, it's going to be too late, and it's going to be a situation around here where what bothers me is that this news, the Indianapolis Star, the Chamber, all of them know what's going on, and not nobody saying a word about how bad this city is. Because the Super Bowl just left here, we don't want to have to say that this city has gone broke. I mean, the point is they're hiding what we all out here in the community know. This place is not in good shape, and it's just a shame that no one over there want to be transparent. No one want to be honest, and it's a shame that they took that vow. And I mean, that is criminal. Somebody should be going to jail.
Yeah, it makes, you're right. It makes absolutely no sense. Anyway, I appreciate the call. Let me move on to some other callers. Thank you, Councilman. Let me go to Rose. Hi, Rose.
Hey, Amos.
Hi.
That just clarifies what I said yesterday. There, I don't know what the word is in less than poor, but that's what it is.
You said it, less than poor.
I don't know what the word would be, but that's what I said again, and we've been fighting about it. But see, the problem that with me and people like myself, we've been discussing this ever since this happened. Mm-hmm. We knew, or we thought, we have said, the media was not telling us all the truth. Maybe they didn't know. But we knew that that blood was going to come up messed up or missing. We knew that they were going to protect him because the system does that. It's not new. They've been doing it. But the biggest thing is our politicians and our people in control know what's going on. You have to blame them more than the individual cop that keeps on doing wrong. Right now, you got one fixing going back into court again for drunkenness that had been released, what, not too long ago?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to tell the truth. None of the newspapers, they go into all kinds of things. They cover up everything. This money they have that they keep finding isn't the only money that they've hid so that when the change jobs or whoever gets elected after the election, the money probably was set back so that they each could divide or whoever knew about it get their share. Nobody's going to say that. That money wasn't accidentally misplaced. That money was purposely hidden. Somebody honest walked in and found it and disposed it. But yeah. Our people are not in a position to fight because we don't have anything to fight with. We can depend on our politicians and the media to help us out. And everybody's acting like they're so surprised today. Why is it that people in charge and the educated people are so surprised when we've been discussing ever since it happened. It will be, I will really look forward to seeing what the results will be.
All right, Rose, I appreciate it. 239-1310, 239-1310 this afternoon. The name is the sharp-eared callers. Chief James Tola was the first African-American chief of the Indianapolis Police Department. And Rick Hite, even his acting, is the second, even though he is an acting capacity of the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department. But Chief Tola was the first officer of color to lead the police department. And during his watch, they never had any case of evidence in the wrong place. Officers running over motorcyclists. Odd police action shootings. Anyway, 239-1310. Back to the phones. Let me go to Reverend C.L. Day. C.L., how you, Reverend, how you doing?
How you doing, Amos?
I'm fine. Your reaction to this?
I can't say that I'm shocked. You know, last week at the Public Safety Committee, when Dr. Schraub was giving his presentation, and I told him then that he was passing the buck. Whatever went wrong, they put it on the police chief. Whatever was going right, he accepted a responsibility. I think this comes down to leadership.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who's ever in charge, who appointed who, has to take responsibility. And we as taxpayers have to hold them responsibility. You know, if you've been over the police department and whatever thing for 2 years, 4 years, or whatever, once you accept that job, you accept the responsibility of that organization of the performance outcomes of those workers. You cannot take it down levers from the leadership. And that itself is lack of leadership. Some people need to come forward and say, hey, I accept the responsibility for this. They're getting paid to accept the responsibility. And we, the public, we can't be fooled about this. Passing the buck. I told them last week they're passing the buck, and they continue to do it.
While I'm talking to you, Reverend C. All Day of Concerned Clergy, I got a Carrie Ritchie, reporter for the Indianapolis Star, says on Twitter that she's talked with Judge Grant Hawkins, who is handling the Officer Bessard case. And according to Twitter from Carrie Ritchie of the Indianapolis Star, she says that Judge Hawkins had issued a protective order that said that no one was supposed to tamper with the Bessard blood evidence. So now we've got violation of a judicial order, and that's contempt to court.
Right, right. And that goes right to the leadership should have been making sure that that judge order was in place. You can't take it down lower than the leadership. It has to start with the leadership. You know, I've met with some of them officers, and they don't even know the colors of the public safety eyes. You know, but we cannot, you know, sometime, I told them last week, I said, sometime we're talking about morale. I said, you need to pat them on the back. But this is a leadership problem. And it starts from the top all the way down. And it's going to be very interesting how this plays out. You know,
right.
Last Wednesday, they were telling about everything is good. They're making progress. And they probably knew then that some of this stuff was coming out. So I hope there's a very thorough, independent investigation from the FBI. And at some point, I really think the mayor needs to sit down and just talk to the community. Allow the community to come in and help clean this mess up. Because obviously the people that are trying to run this and provide the leadership that's necessary aren't able to do it. And you can't continue to pass the buck 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago when you accept the job, you accept whatever comes with it.
All right, good points, my brother. I appreciate it. Let me go to Anonymous at 239-1310. And somebody also reminded me, Bobby Allen. I don't believe Bobby Allen was ever the chief of police. Now, maybe he might have been an acting chief of police. We'll have to check on that. That's why we have the smartest talk show audience in the world, and we're kind of remembering our own history. Hi, Anonymous.
Hi. Amos, you know, this is things that's been going on for years.
Mm-hmm.
This just didn't start today. It didn't start yesterday. When I say this, when Michael Taylor got killed years ago,
yeah,
that's when all this started. I mean, that's when we started noticing what was going on. We went to them. They said, oh, they did everything by the book. They did. Yeah, as you can see, nothing has been done by the book. Everything done in the dark comes to the light. sooner or later.
That's a good point. I mean, it, you know, this is, if you watch, if you watch CSI or any of the 800 Law and Orders, they would at least tell you which book it's by.
Hello.
Or let's go old school.
Hello.
Jack Webb. I mean, you know Jack Webb. Buy the book. What's the facts? Now you talk about somebody. Let's go find, where is Joe Friday? Can we hire Joe Friday?
We need him.
Or, go get Anita Van Buren.
We need but who we got? Because as long as we got these people, then who's in charge, who's been in charge for years, the same thing is going to keep on happening.
All right, good point, my sister.
Have
I appreciate it. Thank you.
239-1310.
239-1310 is Afternoons with Amos. I'm not sure what we're going to do on the show tomorrow. Originally we were scheduled Rupert Bonham, the Libertarian candidate for governor, but I'm going to reach out to him because we may have to move him, because we do have the mayor's communication director, scheduled tomorrow in our first hour, to talk about the state of the city speech. Oh, that's going to be interesting. We're going to reach out to the acting chief of police, see what he wants to do. Let me go to Charles. Hi, Charles.
Yeah, and this is a good example of the lack of honesty and integrity on that one officer. When he messed up and had that wreck, all he had to do was tell those guys, say, hey, man, I've been drinking. I've messed up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of this cover-up and everybody running and trying to all of the legal finagling and all of this money that's being spent, people being thrown under the bus, all because this guy wouldn't step up to the plate and say, hey, look, I was wrong. I was drinking. I've got a drinking problem. I've messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of this wouldn't, you know, at least in this particular case, you know, just that lack of integrity on that one person's part. Wouldn't you say?
That's a major part of it, and Charles, I absolutely agree with you, but I also think is that in the command and control of the police department, somebody should have known this case is so hot,
yeah,
we're gonna bend over backwards to make sure that any evidence connected to this case is handled by the absolute letter and procedure of our evidence handling rules.
And that is their honesty and integrity on their part also.
That's the part. Yeah, what Bizarre should have done from the get go,
right,
is one thing. You're
uh-huh.
absolutely right.
Yeah.
But how they have constantly,
yeah,
from the leadership of the police department, and Robert Turner made the point, when the accident happened, mm-hmm, the whole command staff of the police department should have fallen out to 56th and Shadlin,
and they started
to see what was going
under the bus as soon as it happened. They brought those two the two officers that were there, the lead officers, and threw them under the bus immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I'm saying they didn't go about it the right way. Just everybody trying to hide and everybody trying to be dishonest, and all of this could have been avoided.
Here's the other thing. The other thing is when your best investigator doesn't feel comfortable in your organization and he has to leave and go work for the NCAA. And I'm talking about Bill Benjamin. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, Bill Benjamin knew about chain of evidence.
Yeah.
Bill Benjamin knew how to investigate a case the right way.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you make a dedicated police officer, community servant like Bill Benjamin feel uncomfortable that he has to leave. Oh, my goodness.
Honesty.
Great.
Honesty.
Great, great points. Great points. Let me go to Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, Amos. How you doing?
I'm fine.
Yesterday afternoon on 21st and Franklin Road, there was I was sitting over there, and they had it all taped off, and a lot of the police officers and a lot of people were over there. Somebody was dead in a car.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't find anything about it. Like, there's nothing, like, on the news, nothing in the paper. And the officer, one of the officers said it was a police officer that was dead in that unmarked car. I can't find anything. I'm just wondering why.
Well, to be honest with you, I've not seen anything from the police department about anything in a car, come to think of it.
Yeah,
and see, that's the kind of thing that people raise questions about credibility.
All right, it's just really weird.
All right, good point. Obviously, this is a discussion that's going to continue in this community tomorrow and maybe for the next day. So we'll probably adjust our schedule, and this obviously is going to affect whatever the mayor says tonight in his State of the City speech. I'm sure they're rewriting paragraphs and the opening and what have you. To deal with this, if you just tuned in, the chief of the Indianapolis Police Department, Paul Krzyzewski, resigned, probably was fired, after it was uncovered that key evidence in the David Bizzard case had been mishandled. An unacceptable breach in police procedures. The head of the department's professional standards division is on administrative leave. Another officer is on administrative leave. Rick Height, the deputy public safety director, is now the acting chief of the Indianapolis Police Department. Only the second or maybe third African American ever in an acting or direct leadership role of the police department of the 11th largest city in the country. The mayor, Greg Ballard, is livid, went on live television about an hour and a half ago. To express his disgust at this situation and said and stated the obvious that this obviously set back people's perception of our police department. This is a stunning development. Probably one of the worst police scandals in Indianapolis in at least 30 to 40 years. We'll have more about this. You'll find more on our website at praiseindy.com. I'm Amos Brown. Have a great day. We'll talk more about this tomorrow, live at 1.